Grant, we beseech thee, O Lord, that thy faithful people may always rejoice in paying reverence to all thy saints, and may they be helped by their unceasing prayers. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Many years ago, in one of the missions that I run, there was a family, and they had a number of young children already, and they were expecting one more coming along the way. And all the while, as sometimes is the case, especially as the families grow older, it becomes more and more difficult sometimes to find a new name for a child that everybody sort of agrees upon, at least the parents anyways. And that was sort of what they found themselves in. They knew they were having a boy. They had several different names that they had picked out, but they hadn't really settled on exactly which one they wanted. And as time went on, it got closer and closer to that point where the baby would be born, and still no name decided. And so the wife went into labor, and they went off to the hospital. Arriving at the hospital there, it was clear that she had indeed gone into labor, but it seemed hour after hour went by, and she was no closer to having the baby, and it seemed almost interminable. More than a day went by, more than 24 hours, and still nothing seemed to be changing. The husband at some point called me later in the evening, and he says to me, "Can you please pray, Father, this is a really prolonged time here, and it seems like we're no closer to having the baby than when we first walked through the doors." And I told him I certainly would. And then I thought about it for a second, and I said, today is the feast of St. Nicholas. You should pray to him. He's one of the patron saints of children. And pray that the baby comes soon. And I said, besides, maybe if he intercedes for you, you might settle that whole entire name question that you have going on. So he said, "All right, thank you, Father." And he went back to his wife, and he relayed my message. Said, "Father's, certainly praying." And he said, "Today's the feast of St. Nicholas." And he said, "We should pray to St. Nicholas. And then if he helps out, maybe we name the child Nicholas." Well, the wife, she was a very blunt person and kind of very matter of fact. And she just says, "Oh, I really don't like that name. I don't want to name my kid Nicholas. I just don't, for whatever reason, can't stand the name." And the rest of it, thought, okay, whatever. But he said, "Well, we still should pray." And she said, "All right, we'll pray." And she looked at the clock, and being a very pragmatic person, she realized it was after 11 o'clock at night. And she said, "We'll pray. And if he comes through before his feast day ends, then I'll tell you about, maybe we'll name him Nicholas." And so they did. They did actually pray to St. Nicholas. They're very faithful people. And by the time they finished their prayer, all of a sudden, everything started to change. And by about 11:45, the baby was born. It was a matter of probably about 20 minutes, they went from nothing to a new baby. And once they were holding the baby in their arms, the husband looked at his wife and says, "Well, what about a name now?" And she looked at him and says, "I don't think we have a choice. He has to be named Nicholas after all." And so Nicholas was born. We celebrate All Saints Day for a very important reason, because it is that recognition for us that there is this entire portion of the mystical body of Christ that is already in heaven. They are there, they have gained their reward, and they are there for all of eternity. And it is there that we wish to join them. However, it doesn't stop at All Saints Day. We don't give them merely a day of recognition. But as Catholics, we realize that we have 365 days of saints. Each day, different saints assigned to the calendar and whose feasts they are. Some are on the universal calendar, some for local areas, and oftentimes there are many more that you've never heard of, but have been canonized and are further down the line in the martyrology. And for us, it's easy to take that for granted. We kind of think about at times, oh, today is such and such a feast day, or today, tomorrow is this person's feast day, and we wait. And realize that one day after another, the feast changes. But why is it important for us to remember whose feast it is? And why is it so important to commemorate these saints? Well, contrary to... It's for a number of reasons. And for to begin, contrary to the very... misconception that Protestants have, we do not celebrate saints' feast days because we worship them as gods. Now, we know that, but it's important to understand exactly what we mean by that. Rather, it is God whom we increase our love and honor for by commemorating the saints. Because it is in the recognition of the works of their lives and the extreme piety that they exemplified that we realize that it is by divine influence through them that they were able to achieve such heights of sanctity. It is this that we reflect upon. Every conversion that a saint has made that we read about. Every time we read and we realize that they practice some sort of act of heroic virtue, every time when they willingly sacrifice their lives as martyrs, every miracle they performed, every sermon they preached, every aspect that brings them up to shine brightly before our eyes, these are acts that are truly done by supernatural influence and God giving them grace and them cooperating with it. It's much like many aspects in our lives that we think, do, and don't really reflect upon. Think about if you go into a beautiful church and you stand in there and you stand in the middle of the center of this magnificent edifice and you stare around. What are you marveling at? It is not the stones, or the glass, or the metal. But we marvel at the work of the architect in building it. Every time you go and stand before a beautiful painting, you admire and reflect upon not the type of canvas that it is placed upon, or the smearing of colors in pigments across it, but rather the precise placement of them by the artist in creating it. Every piece of beautiful music that you hear, and you find yourself closing your eyes and tuning everything out and just focusing, reflecting, and enjoying that music, you don't honor the waves of sound. You don't consider the vibrations of bow across string or air through trumpet. But rather it is the composer and the whole of what he has created. And so it is with every saint. We marvel at their lives when we read and learn about them. But we do not focus on their human actions. We don't read the lives of the saints to find out what kind of sandwich they like to eat. Or do we care ourselves with the fact that they had black shoes versus brown, or that they shopped at a certain store on Wednesdays? These things that are certainly parts of regular human life for them are not what we concern ourselves about. But rather it is the supernatural actions that they perform the things in which grace is necessary, and then their cooperation along with it, that separates them from the average man, that brings them into our focus, and merits that their lives be recorded for us. These are the acts of God done through the person. Secondarily, we have the saints to be our inspiration for our own sanctity. We know they are men and women just as we are. But they lived extraordinary lives of piety. And we recognize that this is our end that we work for. It's the same God that we try to love. It is the same virtues which we feebly try to practice. It is the same temptations that come to them that we too try to fight off. It is the same charity that we try to embrace. Same faith we learn, same sacraments that we receive. It is all there for us. And their success in that inspires us to realize that we can be successful too. Them rising to extraordinary heights helps us to realize that we, the same human beings, that we too can at least achieve what God wants from us in our own lives, our own level of sanctity that He expects, our own success in exercising these virtues, and that in doing so, that the same reward, heaven, will be ours as well. Thirdly, God gives us the saints to be our heavenly patrons, our intercessors in heaven. The saint, as we know them, as we celebrate in those feast days throughout the year, these are not people that we suspect or hope are in heaven. These are people whom we know are in heaven. God has made this abundantly clear and firm for us so that we cannot doubt it. Because after their death, through their people praying to them, miracles had been wrought. And then those miracles, the church has gone and examined them carefully to see if they are truly from beyond this world. And then they have their lives gone through with a fine-tooth comb by that same church. And ultimately, in the end, if it is deemed that all is right for the canonization, they are finally made saints, infallibly defined by the church, so that we cannot doubt the truth of their sanctity. And so, when we see a saint, we know that they are close to God, standing right there before His throne in heaven. And that for them, they no longer have the faults that we have in life, but they are perfect and pure in the eyes of God. And so when they pray, as we know they do, their prayers are not only heard, but are truly precious before God. And so they look to help us, and we turn to them for our aid as our friends and our intercessors, to help us to live a more virtuous life, to turn to them to find the aid of what we need, to turn to them and realize that not only patrons by name, but also patronage by intentions exist for a myriad of causes in our faith. If you suffer from eye trouble, well, you have St. Lucy to turn to. If somebody is diagnosed with cancer, they're not without an intercessor, But their specialty is St. Peric. If you lose your car keys, St. Zita, well, she'll find them for you. If you lose all sorts of items, St. Anthony's, of course, your man. And if you lose your mind, well, St. Dymphna's writing in the wings. Every cause has a saint. And it makes us realize that we need not merely rely on us to solve our problems, but rather to turn to heaven and have faith in our prayers and trust in the good God through the intercession of his saints, that we are not alone, and that truly we are not to be without hope. And fourthly, we are remembering the saints because we keep them before us as a reminder of our ultimate goal as well. We are made to save our souls. We are meant to go to heaven for all of eternity. But we know that this is our daily struggle. But each day we can see a new saint, a new feast day that brings us a new focus on different virtues and different things that we can reflect and learn from and strive to imitate and look to be more perfect in performing in our lives. It encourages us in that daily struggle to do the things that we know we must, but they are not easy at times. It encourages us to pray when we are tired, to sacrifice when we are comfortable, to increase in virtue when there is no earthly return for it, to strive after perfection when we know that we are imperfect. Having regular access and reflection and study of the saints each and every day is greater than any motivational sign that you can put up upon the wall. They see to it that our battle for our souls isn't one that is fought merely sporadically as we feel sort of those waves of inclination, but one that is daily, that is grinded out in even our troughs of dryness. And when we keep working in this way to imitate them and to find in them that inspiration, and to follow after their examples, and see them, to be inspired by them, and to turn to them for aid, one day we will realize that we were right to always maintain that hope of joining them in heaven. May God bless you.